If you have your Bibles and you would like to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, that's what we're going to look at today. And I can tell you right now, I had no idea why the Lord wanted to preach on this today. And I'm not going to tell you how it happened, but it was one of those miraculous things that happened that got us to where we're at today. It was, I know it was God who said, this message is for today. And it may be a message that I'm sure you've heard many times, but it comes at the right time today, as Pastor Phil was talking about and leading us through the service about excuse me, what our country's going through. And this is a timely message for that. And I didn't think about it, but it absolutely is. And so if you're in your Bibles and you're at 1 Peter chapter 2, just a little bit of context for Peter right here. Peter's writing this letter, and he's writing a letter to people who are not living in their own homeland. They're scattered all over the place. These are believers. These are people of the church, and they're scattered all throughout, and they're not, and because of persecution. They're suffering. They're being persecuted, and so they've scattered. And so one of the temptations of anybody who is facing persecution and suffering for your faith is what? To recant your faith, right? To say, I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to stop doing this. Is this even worth it? You know? And here are these people who are scattered all throughout the land, and Peter writes them this letter. And the essence of this letter is twofold. One is that he says, hey guys, let's go. Keep going. Let me remind you of who you are. Let me remind you of who God is. And he says here, he reminds them not to give up on their faith in Christ. He says, even in the hard times, even in the unexpected times, even in the suffering times, do not give up on your faith in Christ. And the second fold is that he reminds them of their identity as the people of God. And as the identity of the people of God, how they are to live in a land that's not their own. And so this is a very timely message, I believe, that God is bringing us to. And so he reminds us that even through the trials and through the persecutions and the unexpected and the things when it seems like all hope is lost, hold firm to your faith, hold firm to who Christ is in your life, and hold firm to who you are as the people of God, your identity as the people of God. And so we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And he begins the letter by just reminding them of how amazing God has been and what Jesus Christ has done in their lives. And he reminds them that they're children of God. And so he says here, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I know it's not going to be up there, but we're going to start. I think we have verses 4 through 5. He says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones. Like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For 3 years, I worked with my uncle, who's a stonemason, and he taught me a lot about that art. And it was an incredible experience. And one of the things that one of my roles was that I had to there would be a load of stone that comes from a quarry, and it just dumped on the job site. And one of my roles as I started out was to sort through it and to put like kind of stones together. So stones that had nice faces all need to be here in this pile, and stones that had good corners to be on this, good capstones would be here. And I had to kind of sort through it. And one of the piles that I had to, one of the things that was my job. And so what he would do before he started to build a stone wall is he would go through the pile. And he would, my uncle, I remember just watching my uncle, and he would just survey these piles of stone looking for that perfect one to start with. That perfect cornerstone to start with. That stone that is the foundation. And he taught me that without having that first stone, that cornerstone being the foundation, it would set off, if it's not perfect, it's going to set off the whole rest of the wall. And so he carefully selected the one stone that all the other stones could be built off of. That foundational cornerstone was the most important. And so what Peter here is showing us, that we as the church, that we are corporately being built into a spiritual house where God dwells. A spiritual house. We're currently in the process of being built. And I love that. I love those two words, being built, that it's continuing on, that this thing is not built yet. That there are people still coming into the kingdom of God. And you can just rest on that and say, God, thank you that you are still bringing more stones into building this awesome spiritual house in which you dwell. And so, in the Old Testament, we know that the nation of Israel was able to worship God in a portable temple that they took with them through the desert. God gave them those instructions of this portable temple to take down and set up every time they traveled through the desert. And then fast forward to King Solomon. King Solomon, he was instructed to build this grandiose building temple that the people of God would come into, and where the presence of God dwelled, and they would come in there and they would worship him. And so what Peter is tapping into, he's tapping into the Jewish people here and reminding them of this picture. And he's painting a picture here for them. And he's saying that God is right now in the process of building himself a new house of worship. A new house of worship. And this house is not going to be one that has walls and doors and windows. It's not, the walls are not going to be overlaid with gold. And the altars are not going to be overlaid with gold and precious gems and the best stones in the world. But what he's telling them here is that God's house of worship is now located within the people of God. That God's house of worship is now located within the people of God. I know that this church, which is now Cornerstone, used to be called the Good Church of the Good Shepherd, for decades met faithfully in the basement of a building. And this is the basement of my it was in that basement that many of you gave your hearts to the Lord. I know my mom gave her hearts to the Lord in that basement. But what took place is something incredible. And that is that when the people of God gathered together and they brought the presence of God with them, it transformed from a basement into a sanctuary. It was no longer just a basement. It was now the place where God was in their midst. The people of God gathering together, and it had become a holy sanctuary. Worship can transform any building into a sanctuary because it's the worshipers who bring the sanctuary with them when they come. You bring the worship, you bring the sanctuary with you when you become. And I want you to see this morning that when we come together in the name of Jesus, we bring that sanctuary with us. We bring the dwelling place of God with us. And corporately, he is right now building us into a spiritual house that he's continuing to build. And so Peter here is describing the church as this living spiritual house. It's not dead, it's alive. Living stones. When we think of stones, we think of something that has no life in it. It's one of these materials on this planet that has no life to it. But he's saying here, no, you're a living stone. It's alive. And God is building this spiritual house of living stones. And you're alive because the living stone, the living cornerstone, breathed life into you. And he's building us up. And his design is that all of us living stones fit together into his one building. Before Jesus, the temple in Israel was in a special way God's earthly dwelling place. But now the focal point that Peter's getting at here is that God's presence is not in a material building, but it is among us in the fellowship of his people. And the thing that Peter is emphasizing is community. And how important community is of the people of God. I mean, when you just use the word church, you could simply identify the church as the community of the people of God. It is the gathering of the people of God. You are a part of the church. We are in a community together that is eternal. We are of a nation that is not of this world. We are of a heavenly kingdom nation. And we have all been adopted into his family and placed into this nation that is not of this world. And so Peter here is emphasizing community. And I think we can, I think we're all aware of the society that we currently live in. I think if we're real with ourselves, we can all be honest and say that we live in a society that worships and idolizes individualism. Where the self gets to call the shots. I feel like doing this today. I don't feel like doing that today. If I don't want to do something, I have no one to tell me that I can't do it. It's kind of been ingrained in our society when we look at the world right now. Go to church? I'm not feeling like it today. It's been a long week. I'm tired. There's no real reason for me to be there. I can worship God at home, right? And this mentality is something that we're all susceptible to. And it's that mentality that says, because the society all around us and everyone else is doing whatever they please, whatever they want, then I should be able to as well. And I should be able to as well. But what I want us to look at this morning is kind of what Peter is talking about here, and I'm going to get into it in just a second, where we cannot adopt and embrace a lackadaisical kind of approach to being the people of God, being a part of this spiritual house. We cannot approach it coming together because we know who we're exalting. When you remind yourself of who you're exalting and what he's done for you, the one who gave up everything so that you could be a part of this royal family, then it gives you the responsibility and privilege to prepare yourselves when we come into church together. To prepare yourselves when we come into church together. Because like what Pastor Phil was saying, we do work in here. We do work in here. We're interceding for people. We're praying for people. In our praise and in our declaration of who God is, we're doing work. We are proclaiming his name upon this earth. And we're getting it out there. And so what Peter says is that we are a holy priesthood, a gathering of the royal people of God who offer spiritual sacrifices. And so what Peter's talking about here, and he's reminding these people who are all scattered throughout the land, and they're frightened and they're persecuted and they have no idea what's coming next. They're unexpected. He says here to guys, I want you to recognize how interdependent you are upon each other. I want you to see the linkage between yourselves. I want you to see the interrelationship with each other as believers, that even though you're all scattered around, when you gather together with your local group of people, that you are bringing the sanctuary of God together and you are having church. You're having church there. You see, one stone cannot be detached from another. It's impossible. And so when God calls us into his family, he calls us into this joint family that's made complete of a whole bunch of other people who are adopted children and who've been shown the same love as the Father. And when God calls us to a task, as he calls all of us to a task, remember that he's also calling you to work with others. He's calling you to work with other people. He's calling us to work alongside of other people who have been shown the same grace and the same mercy as you have. And if I could remind you of anything this morning, it's that we are a part of something so much bigger than our own personal little lives. We are a part of the great movement of God's Spirit moving amongst this earth, and it's called the church. God's eternal Spirit moving amongst his people, calling each and every one of us in this room to participate in the most incredible mission that the universe has ever seen. God's Spirit moving amongst us. He chooses to work through the church. He chooses to work through us, a bunch of messed up, broken people, some of us with horrifying testimonies and stories of our past. But now our stories belong to a part of his ultimate story. His ultimate story is being told as all of our little stories are built together and put into this spiritual house. It is telling this grander story of his ultimate story. And he's continuing to build his spiritual house. Don't discount anybody in your life. This is something the Lord has really been pressing on my heart. To not think of people as, oh, they get what they deserve. That person, they deserve whatever's on the other side of life. you know? And the Lord's really done a work in my life with that. That I'm not to discount anybody, but to see everybody is eligible for the grace of God. And that eligibility that we all have to receive the grace of God is that we're all sinners. I believe God is working powerfully right now in our times. And Peter believed that. And he was reminding those people who are scattered and living in lands that are not their own and saying, guys, something bigger is happening here. Something so much bigger is happening here. God is most certainly doing a powerful work, even right here in Delaware County. I believe that. I believe that 100%. Just because we don't see churches that are full does not mean that God is not working hard through his people right now. You are those people. And I know that you're working hard for the Lord because of the grace and the mercy that is shown to you. You carry that outside of these four walls. But in order for the power of the Spirit to manifest requires us all to work together to accomplish it. And so this is a mission that requires us to all lay aside judgments towards one another, brothers and sisters in the family. Judgments that when we look at them, immediately we kind of already label them as something other than a brother or a sister in Christ. And this is how the Spirit is going to manifest, and I believe that we're going to see revivals when brothers and sisters of Christ look at one another and say, hey, we're in this together. I'm alongside of you. You're a priest. You're a part of the priesthood of all believers. You're a priest. You're a priestess. There's no room or time for divisiveness among us. It really doesn't matter what you think of someone else. What matters is that you think of them as a child of the living God, just as you are. And when you see that person in this church or other churches, you see them as a child who's been bought and paid for by the blood that was shed for them. We have to work together to accomplish this mission. And that's what Peter is stressing here. As he calls us a part of a royal priesthood, he's saying, you guys, a holy priesthood who offers spiritual sacrifices, you guys are all a part of this royal priesthood. You guys are all a part of this fraternal order of priests. And the people that he was delivering this letter to would have known what he's talking about here. Because in Jesus' day, priests were the men that were set aside by God to serve God. They were the ones that were set aside on behalf of the people to serve God and to worship God. The priests did the work. The priests did the work of worship. The priests served God in the holy places. They were the ones that made the sacrifices. And Peter is here now telling us that all of us as the body of Christ, we are all a part of God's spiritual house. The whole body of Christians is now, in fact, a royal priesthood. And everyone who belongs to Christ is now a New Testament priest. And it is now our privilege and our responsibility to engage in offering spiritual sacrifices, to engage in priestly matters. Priests were responsible for being the ones who approached God. They prepared themselves before they went into the temple. They prepared themselves before worshiping with the people. They were the ones who came into his presence seeking his face and seeking his direction. And as they prepared themselves into his presence, it was not an abrupt showing up to the temple because they felt like it that day. It was an intentional act of giving God acceptable praise and worship. And they understood the magnitude of what he had done throughout the generations. And this is before Jesus came on the scene. They understood the magnitude and the grandeur and the majesty of who this God was. They understood his presence. They understood his abilities. They understood his character. They knew who they were worshiping, and they took that into their time of praise and then the time of worship as they offered these sacrifices. It was not a lackadaisical, careless effort. But when it came to worshiping God together as community, it was not an apathetic or passive approach. It was, hey man, we're a part of something big here. Let's go and do work together with my fellow brothers and sisters. Let's go do work. Let's go do work. Let's give him praise. Let's do these spirit. Let's offer him these spiritual sacrifices. They knew in such a real way the God that they were worshiping, and everything went into preparing themselves for that encounter. Everything went in preparation for encountering the holy, perfect God. At times it was reverent, a respectful approach to his presence. But you know that you can also be reverent and be jumping for joy at the same time in celebration? That is showing praise. That is showing him his reverence. That is showing your respect for how amazing he is, because he is a God of joy. So give him the respect of giving him his joy back. So may we approach as living stones being built into a house of holy priests. May we be the same way when we come together in the name of Jesus and approach his presence in the same honorable fashion with prepared hearts before you come in here. If there's sin that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. You know? Prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts. I don't believe that we should be in an environment in which we come seeking for what God can do for us, but we should always be a church, the people of God, who says, God, how can I satisfy you? What can I bring to you today? And as his priests who offer spiritual sacrifices, there is this desire to pour out our lives, investing our total beings, not drawing on him to satisfy us, but drawing from ourselves to satisfy him. And I love this, that when we give of ourselves and we come in here prepared and we're saying, God, how can I satisfy you? How can I just pour out my life to you right now? And you come into here prepared worship. The beautiful thing that takes place is a reciprocation of that, where you pour out yourself and God, who says, if you come to me, I will draw myself to you. You come near to me, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. There's a reciprocation of that pouring out, where you come into his presence and say, God, here is all of me. And what does he do? He fills you and he satisfies the deepest parts of our beings. And that's with himself. He fills us with himself. As Paul says that we need to do each and every day, to continually being filled with his spirit in our lives. You guys with me here? And so what this means is that this church's mandate becomes a shared and common responsibility. It's not merely a task of the pastors and the leaders, but it becomes a shared and a common responsibility. It's a corporate responsibility of all of God's people, every single one of us, to recognize yourself as a priestly, as a royal priest in the house of God. And to recognize and I encourage you to do your own research this week about how the priests approached worship and how they approached coming into his presence. You are a part of a royal priesthood of God's kingdom. Let that just sink in for just a minute. You are a part of the royal priesthood of the kingdom of God. You've been given a task. You've been given a task as a priest. As a priest would have had in the Old Testament, but yet it looks different now. And he says, you don't have to bring material offerings and sacrifices, but now you bring spiritual sacrifices. I'm calling upon my people who live in 2017 to rise up in a land that is not your own. And you're scattered all over the world. And it may look like you're being persecuted and they're suffering. Remember that you are a nation of priests. You have been called out by the God of the universe to handle the work of the priests, to be the ones who come into his presence prepared to do the God's work and to lead other people into God's presence. And what I mean by that is that you are not here to be the mediator between God and man, but we are agents of God who say, come along, let me show you this man named Jesus. And because Jesus removed that veil, they have complete and full access to him, not having to go through a priest. But they sort of do go through a priest because God calls us to carry that gospel message to the world and connect them to the hope that is in Jesus Christ. So what are these spiritual sacrifices that Peter is referring to? There's plenty mentioned in the Word of God, but I just want to look at a few. What are these spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer up? As priests, what is our privilege and our responsibility? What is it, God, that you would have of us to bring to you that is acceptable and pleasing to you on an everyday basis? If we understand that we are your priests and in this world, and that there is a privilege and a responsibility that comes along with it, okay, God, what is it that you want me to offer you? What are those spiritual sacrifices? And the first is this, our bodies. A spiritual sacrifice that you can offer to God that's acceptable to him is your body. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you in the view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. One of the things that I know about, that as I've just dug in the Word of God, is that he wants to do a work through your body. This physical part of your being. You are an instrument. You are a vessel of God to be used. So it does matter how we treat our bodies. It does matter how we treat our bodies. It does matter how we take care of our bodies, what we put into our bodies, what we put into our bodies. It matters to God. It matters to him. And so he's saying here, recognize this, that your bodies are the temple of God. It's where he's housed. And so we are to take this truth seriously, that we are instruments for God's use. And so, God, how can I offer you a spiritual sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to you and acceptable to you? Okay, God, I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to take serious inventory of what I put in and how I take care of my body. Secondly, is generous and cheerful giving. Generous and cheerful giving. Paul in Philippians talks about how the gifts that the believers sent to him was a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And when we give our giving of our tithes and our offerings, it's actually sharing what God has given you so that it can be a benefit to God's purposes in spreading the kingdom around. Spreading the gospel message. And so your giving and your tithes of what God has given to you is sharing what God has given to you. And so you can see how that can translate in so many other areas of how you give to the Lord. You actually are sharing with him. You give your energy to somebody else. You share your energy. You're giving what God has given to you, and you're sharing it with somebody else. The same is true with your tithes and your offerings and your finances of what God has blessed you with. And you give it to others, and you share it for the spreading of the gospel. Another spiritual sacrifice is worship. It's giving him praise and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 says that through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. You know, when you give your testimony, and you sit down maybe at the dinner table with some people like your neighbors, and you sit there and tell them your testimony, you're giving him praise and thanksgiving. You're offering God a spiritual sacrifice. When you pray and you intercede for this country, when you pray and you intercede for the people who are suffering, when you pray and you intercede for the people in your life that God has put in your life, you are offering to God a spiritual sacrifice. The offering of your lips, the testimonies, the prayers, when we come together and we sing songs together, you're offering a praise of thanksgiving to God. The offering of him, to him, the fruit of your lips. Fourth, what is another spiritual offering, a spiritual sacrifice that we can give to him? And that's evangelism. To take what God has given you and the message of the gospel and give it to someone else. In Romans 15, Paul talks about how God has given him a priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might be an offering acceptable to God. He's saying here that God is giving him a responsibility, this priestly duty, to communicate and to proclaim the gospel of God to all these people outside around us who don't have this amazing gospel, who do not have Jesus Christ in their lives, that can be shown it. That we are to take the gospel and to share it with other people. This is offering a spiritual sacrifice unto God. We serve as agents who bring others to God. You see what I'm saying here? And Peter is saying to us that we are all a part of this. This is every mandate. It's a common and shared responsibility of the entire church to serve as agents who bring others to Him, to connect people to the hope of Jesus Christ. And finally, selfless service to Christ. Selfless service to Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that led to death, so that we may serve the living God. That we may serve the living God. Those are some spiritual sacrifices. There are some spiritual sacrifices. This is how we, as the royal priesthood, can bring our spiritual sacrifices to Him. Knowing that you are a part of something so much bigger than we can even wrap our minds and our heads around. This is massive. The greatest mission that has ever gone throughout this entire universe, that this universe has ever seen, you're a part of it. A living stone that is being built up. And so you carry with you the sanctuary of God, the living presence of Jesus Christ, and the Father God rests and resides and dwells and inhabits you. And I think about this all the time, and we say it all the time, and it's preached all the time, but you can't be reminded of it enough. You cannot be reminded of enough. And we will beat it ad nauseum because it's such an amazing truth. That I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface on what that means. The living God lives within me. That I am a temple of the living God. That he's in here. His Spirit has joined with my spirit. How huge is that? And what if I seriously tapped into that to its full capacity? You know, I look at this and I read this message and I'm like, okay, God, I self-reflect when I do these types of messages. Where am I at with this, God? On an everyday basis, when I wake up and I go through the day, do I recognize that you are within me, that your spirit dwells here, lives, and is doing a transforming work in here? Do I let you transform every day? Do I let you renew my mind? Do I let you renew my thoughts? Do I let you get rid of those things that I want to hold on to? God, how am I doing with this? And Lord, I pray that you would right now begin to allow each and every one of us to understand the capacity of how huge this is. Of how huge this is. Maybe today you look at these spiritual sacrifices and you look at what the Word of God is showing us about offering your bodies, offering giving and worship and evangelism and service up to God as your responsibility, a common shared responsibility as a royal priest in His kingdom. And maybe today you've never offered yourself to God and said, God, I'm unreservedly giving myself to you fully for your service. You come into His presence, and it really is. It's such an identical and similar picture of Old Testament priests where they knew without a shadow of a doubt what God had done. And many of them, you know, never really saw those big things of God. But through generation after generation, the priests stayed faithful. And they remained faithful to serving God. Many of them didn't see those massive miracles that we read about in the Bible. There were 500, maybe 400 years where that fire in the temple was consistently, perpetually burning. Many of them didn't see the big, massive things. Many of them probably thought, God, are you still here? Haven't seen anything big in a while, God. Are you still here? But they stayed faithful. You know why? Because they knew without a shadow of a doubt who they were worshiping. They knew His magnitude. They knew His power. They knew His abilities. They knew His character. They knew what He had done. They knew His promises. They knew His faithfulness. They knew His holiness. They knew His worthiness. And so everything that they did was wrapped around preparing themselves to encounter this kind of God. And I believe that as we live in 2017, that this should be a resurgence of this in the people of God. A resurgence of this. And again, it's not like Pastor Phil was saying earlier, it's not always this somber approach in holiness. There are definitely times for that. Absolutely. But then there's times where you're dancing and praising like David did in the temple. Knowing how the awesomeness God is. And so when we come in here on Sunday mornings and we come to our life groups and we come to whatever it is, worship practice, or whatever, wherever you serve the Lord, approach it with this understanding that everything that you do, whether it's setting up coffee, whether it's cleaning the building, whether it's leading a life group, you are a part of the royal priesthood of God, and everything you do has eternal significance, and there is nothing that the people of God, that when they put their hearts and their minds to it in Jesus Christ's name, and they do it for His sake, that God does not recognize that. And see, it is something that is a spiritual offering, an acceptable to Him. We all have a part to play in this, and we all have to work together in this. So maybe this question that you might want to ask yourself this morning is, because this is a commitment, right? This is a commitment. This is a commitment to, like we've been saying for the last 2 weeks prior to this, is allowing God to do a refining work in us, to chop off and to nap off the rough edges of our lives. And you know, when something that I learned, my uncle had was a mason, that stones don't come from the quarry shaped like you want them to. There were many times when my uncle would sit there and he would chisel away. And he would chisel away at the face so that it would look nice and beautiful on the outside. If I took each and every one of you outside of this building right now, you would see chisel marks on every single piece in here. Almost every single piece. There are chisel marks. You can just see the teeth of the chisel marks on all of the stones that make up this building that we're in right now. Will I allow God to work on the rough edges in my life to be built into God's spiritual house? Let's bow our heads. And then Pastor Phil is going to close us out of here. Lord, I know that this message was for today. And God, it brings me a lot of confidence and trust in You that You are doing a work in all of us right now. As Your people, as the people who represent You in Delaware County, in the United States, in the year 2017, that You have called us to be a royal priesthood. And that this is not something that we should take for granted. God, I believe that You want us to be serious about our responsibilities as Your people on this earth. There is no time for divisiveness among us. There's no time for a lackadaisical approach to what we're doing. God, I pray that right now that You would embed with each and every one of us a strong conviction of everything that we're a part of for Your glory and how big it is. That we're a part of something so much bigger than we can even really begin to wrap our heads around. I thank You for this word. I thank You for the scripture. God, I thank You for this truth. I thank You that You want us to be this. That this is who You've made us. That this is our identity, God. So Lord, I ask You to help each and every one of us to walk in our identity right now. From this day forward. Now is the time for the people of God to rise up as the royal priests of your kingdom. And so, Lord, we yield to that work, that chiseling work. If there's any area in us, Lord, that you need to do, God, we give you the permission to chisel it away so that we can be effective royal priests for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Nick.